Welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio. I'm your host, Eve Kerr, and I would like to take a moment to give my gratitude to wonderful BBS Radio. And Doug and Don and Deborah, we love you, and we are so grateful for you and all your work, your encouragement, support, and efforts that you put into what you do. I'd like to extend deep, heartfelt gratitude to all of our listeners. We've been getting great feedback, and we really appreciate your comments and your questions and suggestions. So we really enjoy hearing from you, so please keep it coming. And we'd also like to give our gratitude to the beloved Ascended Masters, especially beloved Saint Germain, who is sponsoring this wonderful broadcast. And I'd also like to do just a quick mini showcase on my wonderful co-host, Anthony Coco. He's really an amazing being. And I want to, I just want to take a moment to honor him and his work, his music, and his path of light that he's been working so diligently on, which is why he is where he is today. And you can read more about him on his websites, which are yourchangesforsuccess.webs.com. And that's your changes with the number 4. And then the word success.webs.com. You can view his articles on Your Changes for Success at wordpress.com. And he's also on Facebook. So if you go to the Freedom's Flame radio page on BBS, you'll find all those links in his bio section. I'm really very grateful for him, his friendship, and I'm honored to be working with him and his presence co-hosting with me. And so, welcome again, Anthony, who is now a regular co-host on Freedom's Flame Radio.
Why, thank you, Eve. That's a really wonderful introduction, and it's really touched me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to give credit where credit is due. And you've been very instrumental in my life and my work and on my path. Since we've connected, and I'm very grateful, and I'm just acknowledging, I'm in a really deep state of gratitude and love right now for everything and everyone that's been really, really, you know, supportive and helpful and encouraging to me.
It's a very good way to be, because the more grateful you are, the more you have to be grateful for.
Indeed. And so we have a beautiful lineup today. We do have an hour today, so in this hour, it's going to be kind of a sacred fire, power-packed hour. Anthony will be continuing with his Sai Baba showcase, which will now include his experiences with Sai Baba and his teachings. And for the second half of this show, I will do a showcase on beloved Ascended Master David Lloyd, who made his physical ascension right here from Mount Shasta, California, back in the late 30s.
Wow. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. He's got a lot planned. So, and I know there are things that he wants me to speak on. There's some high points from the volume 10 of the I Am Discourses, which is all of his dictations. And so I'm going to be reading a little bit from there and also discussing some of the things that he's actually helped me directly with on my path. So it'll be wonderful. Would you like to start by doing the Great Invocation?
I will indeed. So if anybody who knows the words, you're welcome to join in. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. I thought I'd do a shortened version, seeing as we have less time this week.
It was perfect. Thank you. And so full of loving, peaceful energy. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
So if you'd like to begin, I'd love to, and I'm sure our listeners would love to listen to you speak about your personal experiences with Sai Baba and his teachings. And I'd like to just put the toll-free number up in case anyone has a question. And you'd like to call in, the number toll-free for US and Canada is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. If you would prefer to remain offline, or off the air rather, and you'd like to just, but you want to ask a question, you can Skype, if you have Skype, add BBS Radio to your Skype and type them a question, and we'll answer it live on the air for you. So you have two options there, and again, if you have Skype, the address is BBS Radio, all one, all together. And again, just type your question to them and we will answer it live on the air. So thank you so much. And now, without further ado, Anthony, it's all yours.
Thank you, Eve. Well, my experience of Sai Baba is very comprehensive, and there's really too much to include in this short hour. So I've just written a brief synopsis of the main outlines as I remember it. So I can remember back in the late 80s pondering on what it would be like if a Christ-like being was present, living amongst us in this modern age. I remember thinking how marvelous it would be and how incredibly difficult would be his task because of the state of mankind today. The scale of powers and abilities that he would require, and that he would probably be killed for his efforts. In August 1990, a well-known healer named Dennis Barrett did a talk and demonstration at our church in Bridgend. During the demonstration, he asked a number of healers to assist, and I was one of them. I was so taken by Dennis's work and manner that I bought his book at the end of the evening. And apart from reading Harry Edwards' life story, I wasn't in the habit of reading about healers, but I read the whole book. And at the end was a chapter in which he described hearing about and then visiting an Indian man called Sai Baba, who could do all the things that Jesus did and was described as an avatar. I read every word with great interest, and it made a deep impact on me. And I remember wishing I could meet and experience Sai Baba myself. At that time, it seemed like a pipe dream that this could ever happen. However, many things happened in the following years that I never imagined would happen to me. In those days, there was no internet and little information available except in a few books. I was working in Bristol at the time, and I liked to visit the town at lunch. And one day, I walked into a little old bookshop, and as I was browsing, I pulled out a tatty old paperback book called Man of Miracles by Howard Murfitt. It turned out to be the story of Sai Baba, and I had a picture of him for the first time. Gradually over the years, in between other spiritual pursuits and interests, I gathered some more information about his life and work, but that was as far as it went. In 1991, I was introduced to Bob and Cynthia via friends. They were a couple who'd moved to Mid Wales from London. They became my teachers. Initially, there were four of us going up to visit them once a month for teachings on mysticism and spirituality. Gradually over the years, however, it became me going on my own, and so after lessons in the morning, we had a Sai Baba meeting in the afternoon, where we talked about his life and teachings, people's experiences. We sang bhajans and devotional songs led by myself. The group grew and we became part of Region 6, meeting at various locations in Mid Wales and participating in regional events. In 1997, after selling my house and some years of planning and organising, I was in the middle of a renovation project which was going very badly. For some reason, my father decided that he wanted to take over the running of the project and managed to upset everyone involved. The builder walked off the project at that point, and I'd had enough and walked away myself. It then occurred to me that I had money from the sale of my house and that I could afford to go to India like I'd always wanted to. So I ummed and ahed about it for a while, and then one evening I heard a voice say, "Yes, you come, it's time. You come, you come." I was quite mediumistic and had friends who were mediums, so I rang them and told them what had occurred, and they confirmed the message I received, and that was that. I made some phone calls and was told that a group was going out to India led by Ivan Burgess. I rang him up and he said that his party was full. However, he rang back some time later and told me that someone had dropped out at the last minute and that I could have their place. Of course, I accepted. Everything was a whirl as I received instructions for this and that, but suffice to say, 1 week later, I met Ivan and his party at Heathrow Airport in the early hours and we were off to India. After a 10-hour flight, we arrived in Bombay, now known as Mumbai, followed by an internal flight to Bangalore, where we stayed overnight and did some shopping the next day. Ivan advised us to wear the correct clothing and behave in certain manners, as this was the best way to attract Baba's attention and increase our chances of an interview. Everything that Ivan did was to increase our chances of this. From Bangalore, we travelled approximately 3.5 to 4 hours by taxi until we reached Puttaparthi. Inside the ashram, we were assigned to shared apartments. It was the start of the Shivaratri festival and there were millions of people arriving. And we were told to prepare for darshan as Baba was giving a discourse that evening. Inside the mandir, we sat on the floor, eagerly awaiting his arrival. And then there he was, the man I'd travelled all this way for. After bhajan singing and other preliminaries, Baba began his discourse with the aid of an English translator. I must confess I was becoming increasingly uncomfortable and tired from the long journey. I noticed that everyone had cushions and Ivan had one with a backrest, while I sat on the hard floor. I learned very quickly. Events happened quickly and I always seemed to be playing catch-up. I slept very little and often felt quite unwell, as did other newbies. We were up around 3 a.m. to go for Omkar. This was chanting around the main mandir. And then we lined up to get the best places in the morning darshan. It was important that we worked and stayed as a team, according to Ivan. After a few days, there were rumours that Baba was going to Whitefield, a smaller ashram some 30 minutes from Bangalore. The day he left, it seemed everyone uprooted and followed him. Ivan was a very good organiser and hired a bus for the journey and organised a hotel accommodation across the road from the ashram, where we spent the last 10 days of our trip. I remember sitting outside in the hotel gardens thinking how wonderful it would be to have a swimming pool. Well, after numerous wonderful experiences, being close to Barbara and meeting wonderful individuals, many personal challenges, it was finally time to leave. We didn't get an interview, but somehow Ivan managed to get Swami's attention very often. We set off for Bangalore Airport, and while there we were told that our plane had mechanical problems and was unable to take off. So it was arranged for us to stay at a nearby hotel. It was supposed to be 3-star, but it seemed more like 5-star to me, and we were treated with great courtesy, to which I was rather unaccustomed. The next morning, I looked out the window, and to my delight, there was a swimming pool. I just said, "Thank you, Swami." I felt like I was really being looked after. This was the first of 3 visits. Each one was full of revelation, insight, and growth, and sometimes quite challenging. With Swami as the central figure, there were always lessons to learn, which usually came through interactions with other people. They were designed to make one aware of their weaknesses, bad habits and attitudes, and thereby to correct them. My understanding and insights grew into the nature of his work and for the redemption of individuals and humanity in general. However, his basic message was always the same. He would teach and demonstrate his divinity and constantly remind us that we are all God. He often said that the difference between us is that I know I am God and you do not. He would always encourage us to learn about our true reality and do practices so that we would experience and realize this as a truth for ourselves. He inferred that this realization is what will set us free from misery and suffering. It is the only real and worthwhile pursuit of a human being. All else is a distraction from our primary purpose, and that man wastes much of his time in idle pursuits. In Prashanti Nilayam, everyone wanted a personal interview with Swami. However, he encourages everyone to develop insight so that they could always have inner views rather than interviews. That way, we could experience his love, protection, and guidance always. He says, "This is the real gift I have to give. That is myself. And it is available to all who come with sincerity and willingness to listen and follow the path of truth. To follow your true inner guidance is the way to freedom and liberation from the distortions and false concepts in the mind, and leads you to a path of happiness and fulfillment." It was on my second visit in 2000, after another painful separation, that I felt the calling to go once again to India. On this occasion, I received many wonderful insights, revelations, and communication. I was aware that Swami was using my ability in mediumship. I traveled on my own so that I would have more freedom to come and go as I pleased, and somehow I became attached to a group from Poland. They adopted me and made me an honorary member with my own scarf. For much of the time, I could see emerald green color and had a sense of knowing. I was receiving messages to instruct the group on how to behave and receive Swami ready for interviews. And sure enough, during Darshan, Swami seemed to take a particular interest in a young man within the group, and we were invited to go and wait outside the veranda. I was very concerned at the time because I was told that Swami would often send people back who attached themselves to groups in order to gain interview. However, I was allowed in with the others and enjoyed Swami's presence, showering his love on all present. He spoke like a loving parent, asked about their well-being, gave teaching and instruction, gave gifts and materialized watches and jewelry and vibhuti right in front of my eyes. I felt very blessed to have been allowed to be present and witness this. It also seemed quite surreal. We had a second interview which followed much the same pattern, but on this occasion he took me and another fellow into the back room and asked some more personal questions and gave instructions. These insights continued for a couple of weeks and gradually began to fade. I enjoyed the rest of my stay with the Polish group and felt at the end of 6 weeks that it was time to leave. It was like a door closing, and it was time for me to get back to my own life. I had a lot to ponder over, digest, and share with my group. At the time, I was receiving invitations to attend weekend gatherings and perform some of my songs and take workshops within the Sai Baba organization. My third and final visit was in 2003. I was persuaded to go once again to visit Puttaparthi by my then girlfriend, who was very keen to have her own experience. I, however, did not feel the need or inclination to go, as I'd established my inner connection. And some time prior, I'd heard many rumours about Swami that were very negative, some that he had had injuries and wasn't coming out for darshan as much, and that he was in a wheelchair. There were also other rumours and controversies surrounding him that had been circulating for a few years, which had caused many to distance themselves from him and had affected me deeply. I realised, however, that the life of an avatar has always been surrounded by rumours, controversy, lies designed to discredit him, and even assassination attempts, which was also the case with Sai Baba. However, I still had my own soul searching to go through about all the controversy. I weighed up everything that I'd heard, learned, and intuited. The main story centered around two individuals in particular that Swami had allowed very close to him and had showered with lavish attention over some time. But when that ended, they turned on him like the proverbial Judas. I looked at his achievements and the overwhelming benefit that has been gained by his being in the world. And although I didn't fully understand the reasons behind all the allegations, something told me that it was his way of sorting out the wheat from the chaff. Over the years, the numbers going to see Sai Baba had increased into millions, and many were going for all the wrong reasons. This was his way of using negativity in a positive way. Just as the Holy Spirit uses what we believe to teach and transform us, so does divinity use our weaknesses, lack of discernment, to our advantage for teaching, instruction, and testing our resolve. The avatar has no concern in the least for reputation or what people think and believe. He has a mission to accomplish and will carry it out at all cost. This is his mark and demonstration that he is no mere mortal. He says he reflects back to people what is in their heart. If it is pure and true, that is what he reflects back. But if it is deceitful and corrupt, that is what they experience. The avatar knows the heart of everyone, their past, present, and future, and is unconcerned by any outward appearances because he knows what is the best for everyone. On this occasion, my visit to India was more like a vacation. As I expected, Swami came out very infrequently, and I acted more like a guide than a devotee. However, my partner was very happy with the experience, and I accepted it for what it was. I stopped going to my Sai Baba group a couple of years previously because I felt I had moved on, not from Swami, but from the groups themselves, like I have done with many before and after. I have attended and enjoyed them while they lasted. However, I am still growing and there were and are still many adventures for me to experience. That's when I began to gravitate towards spiritual psychology and healing of the mind and emotions, as I began to realize that I still had many relationship problems. In spite of all that, I had learned about spirituality. I realized this was necessary for my healing if I was to walk the talk. Sai Baba has taken a back seat since then, but has always remained a part of my life and occasionally comes to the forefront. From time to time, I tune to the Sai radio station when I feel inspired or the urge to do so. Sai Baba acts as an ever-present resource and speaks through many forms depending on my current interest. His relationship to everyone is personal and unique to them. He says, "I am as close to you as you are to yourself." He also reminds us that the form is not important, and to develop a relationship with the formless God within ourselves and without. To see unity in diversity and God in everyone, in all things, everywhere, at all times. Then we will be happy. The divine potential is in every human mind, but one has to choose to awaken it persistently, consistently, and be prepared to correct and purify all the mental aberrations of the mind. There is no shortcut, and anyone who believes there is deluding themselves. All must attain this for themselves, as no one can do it for another. And thereby ends my little story of my experience and understanding of Sai Baba. And I hope that's of interest and of benefit to whoever has been listening.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi. It's extremely beneficial for me. My heart is so welled with... I feel kind of flooded right now with the joy of hearing all of that. There's so much in there that it's really created a great segue to introduce David Lloyd. But before we do, I'd like to take a few minutes. Let's take maybe a 2-minute intermission. Maybe we can play a 2002 song, Destinies. Is that possible? Oh, good, it is possible. Anything is possible with the presence, is it not?
Indeed.
Yeah, I'd like to just let that be for a moment. So let's take 2 minutes and we'll be back. and we're back. Thank you so much. Wow. I feel kind of blown away. That was really, I'm very impressed by that showcase. Thank you so much, Anthony. That was really, really wonderful. I really don't have words to express the gratitude I have for that beautiful understanding and your experience. It's very profound, and it actually is quite synonymous with my experience with the Masters. It really reflected a lot of that to me, and what I've experienced with Saint Germain and many others who are around me, who I've been working with. So thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. As I mentioned, you know, it's really just a brief synopsis, really, of the actual experience. But it gives an idea.
Yeah.
And I hope you had a feel of it, hopefully, as well.
The feel is very important. And yes, so you encompassed it very well in a condensed way. It's very power-packed in the brief synopsis that you gave. So I'd be interested to hear more aspects maybe later on. Maybe at some point you could talk about the five avatars, the five states of avatar. I was really interested in that. Maybe we could, if you're inspired, to share about that sometime.
Yeah, if we have time.
That would be really interesting. So onward to beloved Ascended Master David Lloyd. Forgive me, I had to move my microphone. Okay. It's now in place. And so beloved Ascended Master David Lloyd, well, he ascended back in the 1930s from this very location in Mount Shasta, California. And he made his physical ascension by going, he was led to the mountain by someone who told him he would make his ascension on a mountain. Forgive me, I'm losing sound here. Okay, so he was told by someone who had looked after him and his family for years, kind of like a mentor, I guess you could say, that he would be making his physical ascension on a mountain somewhere in North America, in the West. And for 50 years, he searched all of the mountains in North America, and he went about that with just on that feeling that he knew that his destiny was waiting for him on a mountain somewhere. And his story is pretty amazing. And it's also written it's not all just one story together. It's actually a series of experiences that are his dictations in volume 10. And there's also a short synopsis of his story in Unveiled Mysteries and The Magic Presence, I believe, too. It touches on it in both of those books. So, but Godfrey Ray King, who was the accredited messenger for the IM activity back in the 1930s, along with his wife, Lotus Ray King, who are both now Ascended Masters and Lady Masters, received all of these dictations from all of these, from beloved Saint Germain and all these beloved Ascended Masters. And but early in the 30s, before the movement began, Godfrey was sitting on a log on Mount Shasta, somewhere on the mountain, and on that particular morning, David Lloyd happened to be walking on Mount Shasta, and that's where he met Godfrey. And he said there was something about him. He was drawn to go and sit down with him. And in so doing, that led him to the experience of when Godfrey handed him a cup. There was a crystal cup that precipitated into his hands, and it was filled with an elixir. And he handed it to David Lloyd. And when David Lloyd drank the elixir, this is the elixir of life, mind you. This is not just something from out of the spring that was there. This is precipitated liquid. The universal substance that Saint Germain actually talks about in the first chapter of Unveiled Mysteries. And this is the universal light substance, life force, that it's the presence. It's the life force of the mighty I Am presence. So he gives this elixir to David Lloyd, and he drinks it, and he feels this electrical charge going through him, and every cell in his body, it just feels electrified, but in a very positive way. It's so supercharged. It's like he's being reborn like maybe 1,000 times. And something that he wanted me to share today was about he really tries very hard to convey the feeling of his experience and what he experienced with his physical ascension. And he attempts to do that, and he does that actually very well in volume 10 of the I Am Discourses. And there are a couple of points that he wanted me to read, but to go into the whole story, I recognized when I started researching this that I actually could take all of these experiences and compile them to make a nice, like kind of a condensed synopsis like you just did there, Anthony, on David Lloyd, because his story is really actually quite far-reaching. And there's no way I could really encompass all of it and convey the entire feeling of what he experienced in, you know, 20 minutes. So I'm going to touch on a couple of these points because he's really enthusiastic about conveying the feeling about these things. And the feelings are really important. And he talks about that on page 148. He says, "Never be disappointed that something has not occurred according to your outer desire. You cannot possibly know what the powers of the presence see that is best for you unless you have a very clear connection. And most people today do not have it. But with continued earnest attention to the presence, clearer and clearer daily will come your receptivity to the presence until you will come to hear clearly and definitely its direction. I mean through the feeling, for perhaps long before you hear otherwise, you will actually hear through your feeling so clear and definite as if you heard the spoken word. You can do it. Therefore, just go on and on in your application. Never be concerned, but knowing all the time that your application is the power of light in action that knows no opposite and will produce in wisdom, in the wisdom of your presence through your higher mental body, absolutely every step to your great and mighty perfection." And he continues, "Don't you see then how the most possible is being done for you hourly and daily? Then that will remove anxiety or the wonderment. Well, what have I done that I haven't this perfection?" And I'm going to stop right there because he talks about perfection. And a lot of the I Am Discourses, these teachings, they talk very much about what Sai Baba has taught as well, what these beloved masters and avatars have come forth that have been after the fact of these, some of these dispensations and movements to continue these teachings, that perfection, actual perfection, is attainable in the physical material plane. And that the form, as you shared, Anthony, that Sai Baba taught, not to pay attention to the form. Because the form is not really who we are. It's part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. So when you acknowledge the form as an aspect of yourself in wholeness, then you can acknowledge yourself more as God and less separate than God. So that's one of the feelings that could be conveyed, that when you have an experience of your God within and you start recognizing that there is nothing about you that's not of God, then you can start bringing that more to your outer awareness as you keep that in your consciousness. And it's good to have a reminder. I think that's why, you know, we establish these practices to keep these reminders at the forefront of our consciousness so that we can kind of retrain ourselves out of the story of what we've been taught to the truth of who we really are. And that's one of the things that these teachings do, is they say, stop paying attention to what, you know, whatever you've created that has nothing to do with God. Because the human creation or the ego creation, they call it a few different things. Sometimes they call it human, sometimes they call it lower self, sometimes they call it ego, and sometimes they call it the outer mind or the intellect. But all of these are synonymous for the outer self, the outer levels of awareness that have yet to merge with the God self and the God intellect. Because when that happens, that is one aspect of when that's the difference between knowing that you're part of God to knowing that you are God.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience as well. So he continues on. So I just wanted to clear that, because they talk about perfection and these applications, when you call to your mighty I Am presence for different things, to charge you, to give you the feeling. When you say charge, it's charge me, you know, make me feel it. Make me feel what it's like to be, you know, wonderful and thriving and healthy and happy and, you know, ecstatic. Make me feel it. Give me these feelings. What does perfection feel like? You know, and oftentimes in my application through the years, I've had a few times where I've said, you know, it's really hard to feel perfect when you don't feel perfect. And so what do you do when you say, okay, I really want to feel perfect and I want to have a great day, but I really don't feel perfect. You know, what does perfection feel like? So much of this has to do with the feeling. And he talks about the feeling of being clear. And when you're clear in your emotions, in your feeling body, then you can begin to hear clearly. Saint Germain also talks about this in the discourses, especially volume 4, called Ascended Master Instruction. And really, this is an application. I mean, these are applications to become an Ascended Master. This is one of the things that David Lloyd teaches as well, is that our first objective, or our first mission, our goal, our purpose in life is to gain our own ascension to our God self, to become self-realized. And then we can really start fulfilling our divine plans, but only when we really recognize that we are God doing God's work. So in that, they talk about getting the feeling body cleared. In the feeling, Saint Germain says that you can, all this, the hearing, the seeing, and the knowing is in the feeling. It's not anywhere else. So one of the first things that's really important in your application is to really focus on the emotions and to try to practice and bring about a sense of inner peace. And this is one of the things that they really hone in on the I Am discourses, is the feeling body. Everything is in the feeling body. That's the first place that any energy comes in, that we feel. We feel something immediately. We don't think about it next. We actually feel something first. And a lot of times, if there's something that we're thinking about, a thought can lead to a feeling, but only if we entertain it. So if we're paying attention to certain things, it's going to evoke certain feelings. And if we're aware of what we're paying attention to, we have the power to choose and change what we're thinking or what we're doing in that moment to say, oh, that doesn't feel good. Let's go to something that does feel good or that does bring me joy, because this is taking me away from my joy. So right then and there, you can tell the difference between, you know, when you're in your joy and then when the energy changes a little bit, it's like, okay, what's there? You know, maybe there is something to work on, but, you know, and if that's the case, then of course, you know, if there's the willingness to work on that, whatever it is that's there, is in front of you to deal with and you can move through it, that's great, because that's a way of transmuting the energy that comes toward you. But a lot of times when you're in joy or when you're just trying to get clear, when you're, I'm basically speaking to those who are kind of, you know, new to the path or, you know, haven't been doing this for too long, have recently come into the awareness of the I Am Presence, or maybe have even been on it for a while and maybe are still kind of struggling along a little bit. The feeling body is a really big deal. And I touched on it, I think, on the first show that I did, in that if you want to stay clear emotionally, it's really helpful for you to pay attention to things that only bring you joy. Because at that point, it's really critical to get the things that aren't really who you are out of your fields so that you can pay attention to what is there that you have that you need to deal with, and so that you're not, you know, kind of entangled in others' stories and stuff, so that you can clear that out of your field and then get to what's really going on with you. When you work on your issues and get to your core, then, well, you know, self-realization is right around the corner from that. And not that it's right around the corner, but it's there's no unit of measure, really, for any of this. All paths are individual, and we all get there when we get there. So, continuing with this, I hope that's explained a little bit of what the perfection is about, and that the first step toward attaining that is to really get clear emotionally. That's also when you really start receiving direct guidance from your presence and from the masters. If you're in alignment with receiving that, you can receive directly all the time, of course, but the hearing of the voices and the, you know, the masters speaking and your presence speaking and the knowing and even the visions, everything becomes very, very, very clear when you have the feeling body cleared out. So that's one big point that he's wanted me to illustrate today, and I hope I've been able to do that successfully to some degree.
I think you've done a wonderful job. It's very clear.
Well, thank you.
And I'm in total agreement with everything that you said, especially the part you said about where you put your attention. Because as we know, it is where your attention goes is where your energy flows. And what you pay your attention on, especially the more you travel along this path, the more quickly you put your attention on, seems to manifest.
That's exactly how it works. Thank you for sharing that. That's a great point.
Okay. It popped into my mind. I thought, oh, yes, that's an important one, that is.
And I think we have about just a few minutes left, and I want to say thank you, everyone, for listening today. And I also want to share one last thing. Anthony and I were having a conversation recently, and he spoke something about dynamic energy and about putting this dynamic energy to use. And this is the last thing that beloved David Lloyd would like me to touch on here. One of the reasons I use the up-tempo introduction music is because it really charges my feeling body. It charges me with a feeling of freedom, with a mightiness. And he wants to convey that when you feel this mighty sense of self, that you're invincible, that you can do anything, that anything is possible, that, you know, don't allow anything to get in your way. If you're determined to do something, you have a goal, you see a vision, go for it. Just go for it. Don't think about obstacles. Just know that you'll overcome them. Ask for your presence to assist you in overcoming them. Call upon Ganesha and your guides and your masters to help you through them. And he also says, so there's a call on page 62 to 63 of volume 10, and we're going to end with this. But he says, and if you're interested in this kind of a call, and when I say call to the presence for assistance, I can make this available on either my blog or the Freedom Flame Radio BBS page. So he says, look, beloved ones, see again the power of qualification of the individual. We decree a thing through the feeling, even without a spoken word, and then that thing acts. Precious people, if you could just sweep your hand like that and sweep out of your feeling every thought that registers there, all human quality, in 24 hours your body would take on the perfection of this light from your presence. Few could do that in one sweep. But who of you shall say to me tonight how many are sitting in this room who might not do it? And that is the point. If you will reverse all your power of qualification and say to your presence, Mighty I Am Presence, I accept your full perfection in my mind, body, my world of action. Therefore, charge it with your mighty perfection, your purity, and your consuming power of action that dissolves and consumes every discordant thing that has been drawn about me. With the full power of that feeling, there is not one single thing that you could not do in transforming your body, your affairs, and the activity of your affairs in the world into perfection, which the light is and carries forth.
Oh, I'd just like to add something to that, Eve. That's a wonderful, powerful invocation and affirmation. And I was actually thinking on the similar lines today that the reason we don't achieve very much in life is because we simply don't put our attention on it for long enough.
Yes.
It's the fact that, you know, our mind is flitting all over the place that we never seem to be able to make something or manifest something of any real consequence, our heart's desire, simply because we don't put our attention on it for long enough. And that is exactly what your practices are designed to do. So you take away your attention, what I call the sacred attention, which is the power of creation, and put it on what you want, on what is really important. And that's what the masters are saying.
That's exactly in alignment, yes.
It's very simple, but it takes regular practice. And this is what this whole thing is about, extending that practice on a daily basis on something positive, constructive, something of the divine nature. It's using the potential within all of us, which is exactly what Sai Baba was saying as well. Same message.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Also, I have that's created a segue for me to speak about something maybe next time on how we, you know, close our lens to, you know, have a narrow focus in the beginning. Like, you want to kind of be more one-pointed, you know, and focus on something and kind of block all other activity out until you come to a place where you feel balanced, you know, in your emotions and your thoughts, and you have a greater sense of peace. And then you can actually start widening that lens and opening, you know, the periphery of vision to see what's really real around you. So that might be a good segue to talk about something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's moving from just a mental awareness into an experience, which is a whole different thing. You know, we can talk about these things all day, but until we actually do it and experience it, nothing is going to change in reality.
That's very...
This is what it says about walking the talk, which is what I touched on in my discussion. That if I was going to walk the talk, I knew that I was going to have to clean my mind out, purify my mind. And this is all the practices and all the teachings that all the masters and the avatars and the saints, they're all saying. You know, it even says it in the Bible and all the religious texts that, you know, it's the purification process,
yes,
of the mind. Absolutely necessary. And there is no shortcuts. We all have to do it, each one for ourselves. Nobody, yep, else can do it for us.
Well, you know, and the light within us already accepts all of that. All we have to do is affirm it and feel it. When we, yeah, start accepting that we are this great God being in many forms, then we can actually, you know, look in the mirror and say, wow, you know, I am God, you know, start feeling, what does that feel like? Wow, I can accept that. I am beautiful. I am wonderful. I have a wonderful heart. I am giving. I am loving. I am kind. I am caring. I am this, you know, use all the positive affirmations that you can and start really accepting that. When you start accepting that, everything starts changing instantly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're gonna wrap up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we're going to end here with one of Anthony's beautiful songs, The Violet Diamond Protection. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Beloved mighty I Am Presence, and beloved Saint Germain, beloved Portia, Violet Flame Angels, Arcturus and Victoria, Archangel Zadkiel, and Holy Amethyst, I call upon thee to blaze and protect me now. I call upon thee to blaze and protect me now. Violet diamond in my heart, ignite your rapture, let it start. Heal me until I am one and I become a blazing sun. Violet rays astound, amaze, radiate your flames ablaze. Work them through me every hour, brightest light and fullest power.